right with the always used that helps me in a way is transformation. Which is sort of a process, but it takes away from me the negativity of that term.
Here, and then there's two over here, and then don't worry,
you
have some other opportunities.
Just quick to let everybody know, my daughter became Catholic as an adult, and Roman Catholic, and they would not let her be rebaptized. They did not want her to be rebaptized, no matter where you get baptized in the Catholic teaching. That's it. But you can be confirmed, but you cannot be rebaptized.
It's too early to take it as I knew I was going to open up Pandora's box. And I okay, right, right here.
Carol has arrived with a group called CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association, and remembers for about 2 years. And if you were approached by some of these folks in that club on the street, it's the most amazing group of people I've ever seen. These are ex-drug addicts, ex-prostitutes, some of the drugs of society whose lives were totally transformed by being born in these people without Christians. And it was it's a national organization. Mm-hmm. So here we see a group riding, it says CMA on their back, on the vest. Oh yeah, we have to go through a whole video of training to become a member of this group, and it was just the most incredible group of people I've ever met.
And last but not least, next time.
I just feel Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit. And you can be baptized. I feel it's different. I have really changed. You can say I really changed everything you did. Because now I can call the Holy Spirit on the spirit. There we go. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay. Well, I want to invite you to consider these words in some perhaps profound, revolutionary, life-changing ways. We're going to start with this guy, Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. What do we know about Nicodemus? He's a Pharisee, so he's a leader, he's a religious leader in his day. He's Jewish. He knows the law very, very well. And we also know that he comes to Jesus at a certain time of night. Why do we think he came at night?
He was strange.
He's on a secret mission. We don't want everybody to know because the Pharisees are kind of pushing Jesus away, but Nicodemus hears something and sees something and experiences something in the way Jesus is. And so he says, well, I'm going to go pray and nobody knows I'm going. And I'm going to have a little powwow with this rabbi. Because he hears something and he wants to understand and he wants to know more. Jesus tells Nicodemus that he'll only be able to see the kingdom of God if he's born from above. He's born again to be translated. And what I want to say to you is, and this is where we can get really tripped up on this, there is a form, a verb form in Greek that we don't have in English. And what that verb means is, unless you're born from above, and the Greek form means again and again and again and again. So when we make this a formula, that means unless you're born from above, like as in you say this statement and then you're done and you don't have to worry about it, it is not the meaning of this Greek word. So Jesus is saying to him, you know, what I can understand, Nicodemus, is your faith commitment is not a once and done deal. When you're born from above, it's something that you have to come back to me over and over again. It's a journey. It's something that you have to stay with, right? It's not once and done. Sometimes, for some of us, we find ourselves on our knees way more than once a month, or once a week, or once a day, or once an hour. Some of us find ourselves on our knees many times before we even get out of bed in the morning as we think about some things in our life. Jesus is trying to help Nicodemus understand that it hard to keep God at the center of your life. Jesus is filling Nicodemus in on the challenge of following the ways of God that leads the life of the whole. And he's saying, this isn't a once and done. This isn't a formula. This is a daily struggle that is going to need your regular attention. Why? Because we so easily put ourselves into the number one authority position. Let me ask you a couple of questions that will help translate what Jesus is trying to say to Nicodemus. What gets in your way of keeping God front and center? What has a lot of power in your life? And if you're honest, it gets more attention in your life than it should. It might even control parts of your life, even though you tell yourself that it doesn't. What needs to be surrendered for you one day at a time, maybe 1 hour at a time, in order for you to live by God's Spirit instead of that thing? For me, for instance, pleasing people. Pleasing people is front and center, often in my life. And if you are always trying to please people, how many of you learn that you can't? Right? So if you're constantly trying to please people, then it gets in the way of the other things that God might want you to do. And you're so exhausted pleasing people that you have little time for God. Here's another one that I get kind of busy with. I try to get everything done because I know that if I get everything done, I'll feel better. But guess what? As soon as you try to get everything done, there's another goal that's waiting for you, right? But it takes so much of my time and energy trying to get things done so I'll feel better because I'll make people happy. You see how this kind of goes? But it never happens. So name some things for me, and I'm going to have to move the mic. Just name some things for me if you're honest. They can go right to the center, and that's what consumes your energy. That's what consumes your time. That's what you serve. Name some things for me.
Money.
Anxiety, worry, ego,
control,
work,
family,
fear,
lying.
What are some things that go right in there?
Oh, there's so many more.
Think a little bit. Just think a little bit.
Weapon.
Personal interests. We tend to want to avoid painful realities and things that we don't want to face. And God is inviting us daily to do the hard work that points us to life and new birth and living water, as he says to Nicodemus, instead of putting all of our energy into seeking after something we tell ourselves. If we do this, it's like a beautiful waterfall. But instead, really what we're doing is we're going to a dry up well. It's hard to stay in the pain. It is. For most of us, it's very hard to stay in the pain. It's hard to keep acknowledging the pain and the power that the pain has. Any one of you who have been on this journey that Jesus is talking with Nicodemus about, of living from above, where you recognize, I will go to these places, and unless I keep turning to the Spirit of God from above to keep reorienting me, walking in the pain with me and embracing me, know that it's hard work because life isn't easy. And we're so tempted to say life isn't so bad and numb out every time it is. Just think of this week. There were another dozen people murdered. This morning there were 25 people already that have been killed in the fires in California. Our dear Jimmy died unexpectedly. Our dear friend Amy Hamilton fell and is needed to be hospitalized and isn't bouncing back. And if we're, the list goes on, if we're not careful, we get so used to the pain and just kind of hearing it that we numb out. And it takes a lot of chutzpah to turn on the news sometimes. It takes oomph to support and show up for needy friends. It takes more energy than I have, please, which is why I need to be born from above. I need to keep asking for the Spirit's help one day at a time, because this life thing is tough. I want to show you a clip by Glennon Doyle, where she talks about the need to be made new, day after day after day, and why.
So I was doing different things the other day, and the fact that I'm recovering everything, and the interviewer said, you know, that's okay, we don't need to talk about that, that's not really important. And I stopped myself. And I had to think about why that's so funny to me, because that is what I am. Whatever it is that God has this uncontrolled room to be sick through, what we have to do. We have to sit through those uncomfortable feelings and let God work and not run on that. And so when I think about this, I always think about Tina, who is so brilliant inside. If we can sit with the hot loneliness, the 1.6 seconds today, when yesterday we only sat with it for 1 second, then that is the journey of the warrior. And I think what that means is, if we can just let life be hard, and not numb it, and not run from it, and not reflect our pain on someone else, if we can just still with it, we are transformed. So, recovery and faith is a daily journey. That's why I want to say one thing that I feel a little bit crazy, because it's like, oh, one day, like, I'm reborn, and it should be all better. So then there's all this shame that comes later when it's not all better. And so then we hide because I'm supposed to be, you know, already in Jesus. Well, I need Jesus and I need Prozac and I need friends and I need way too much sleep and lots of sugar. I mean, I need a lot of things than Jesus. And so I just think we need to talk about the fact that being reborn is a daily thing. You know, every single time I am tempted to just shut somebody out, refuse to battle somebody, or give them myself. I have to be over and over and over again. We have to have people that we can ask about God's heart for me, the way that God is using.
Do you get what Jesus was trying to say to me?
Say that being baptized would mean that it's not just a matter of coming to your head and that's a daily thing. Or does it mean once you were baptized and you know show your faith in the public and stuff like that?
Again, I think he's saying that baptism isn't a magic formula, right? So baptism is that act of faith that our parents make if we were baptized as a child, that is claiming that God's grace is sufficient in our life, and that our child that we are presenting for baptism, we want this grace of God to surround them until they're old enough to kind of confirm that decision on their own. Do that in confirmation. When a person comes forth in baptism as an adult that is consciously aware of this relationship, they are owning and saying, yes, I know that I need this God at the center of my life to keep reminding me of that grace day after day after day. So it accomplishes the same thing as men in a different way. So in reality, if we think about this as Nicodemus saying, or Jesus saying to Nicodemus as he comes, what he's saying is Nicodemus, like this is how we would say it today. We would say it by using the first step of AA. What is the first step of AA? You acknowledge that you are powerless and that you need what? A higher power. What he is in essence saying to Nicodemus, it's not just today saying that you believe. It is every time you do the many crazy things that you do that tempt you away from belief. He's saying, you need to come back and remember, Nicodemus, that without me you are powerless. And with me, you will be constantly crowded and pushed and my arms put around you and keep guiding you towards life. But for most of us, when we say, yes, I'm powerless, and I need this higher power, in our case, we're calling that God, Jesus, I need that. And then, the very next thing we do says, I don't need that, I'm quite independent, I can do it on my own. And what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is, no, you got to come back here, you got to fall back down on your knees, right? And you got to own again, I'm powerless to control this life, I am powerless to be able to control whatever it is that we have a hard time with, is why we name all those things. For me, sugar, all the right. I am powerless with these things, and I need the Spirit right at the center of my life to come over me like flowing water that's going to give me life, just like that. And so we're being asked again and again and again to accept this about ourselves, that we are in need of this higher power, and we are in need of God to show us what leads to life instead of the things that we tend to choose that can often lead us to dead ends.
I think that's why the practice of fasting in your spiritual journey is really very important.
Fasting can be a way that we can get there. Meditation can be a way that we can get there. Prayer can be a way that we can get there. Reading and studying can be a way that we get there. Being in a small group and sharing the tough stuff can be a way that we can get there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just to help Mike a little, I mean, isn't it true that the rites of the church don't matter as much as what's in your own heart and your own relationship with God? Like it doesn't matter if you were baptized as a child. I mean, if you were baptized as an adult. Well, those things that have significance for you personally. But if you didn't have that,
God's not going to keep from loving.
Right.
They are ways of affirming what we believe. They are ways of bringing in our children to this family that we have so come to count. Remember what she said? She says, but I need community, right? I need God. I need community. I need people with skin on, right, to keep reminding me of these things. Yes?
In light of what Deb has said, Karen Armstrong voices the dogma of the church and our religious community. Really do get in the way of this golden rule of, you know, loving God, loving community.
So when we make it a formula that stops as soon as we've said it, do you see the injustice we've done to God? Right? When we say, you say this, now you're done, and now go live however you want, because you said the magic formula that gives you the keys to the kingdom. Jesus is saying by this, wrong. He's saying, no, you have to keep again and again and again returning to me, because I've got you on this trajectory that keeps leading you toward life to the end. And if you just say formula and then you think you're done, you're stuck. You're stuck, and life is hard, and life is tough, and you don't have the resources that you need to keep experiencing life to the full in the midst of the stuck. Is this making sense? Yeah, that's it.
A lot of times the same word in the Bible for flesh is also the word that is translated as heart. And so when the Lord said to a Pharisee that the flesh was the problem, the flesh and heart, he's saying the core of your being, who and what you are every day that you're on earth is the problem, and that you need to be born again with God and have that new relationship for the rest of your life, because your core won't change. Your flesh is always going to be you.
Joe, and then Dave.
So if I'm going to be completely honest, the idea of a formula gives me comfort, because at my core, I am afraid of me. I'm both afraid of hearing someone else's pain, and I'm also afraid to sit in my own pain. So if I have a formula, it makes life easier. The formula itself, you know, I can think of moments where I have either not listened to someone else's pain, or where I felt not heard. But that's hard. It's hard to be open to that and to let God be God and to just love. It's hard sometimes because there's a lot of vulnerability in that.
Which is Glenda Doyle's point. People wanted to take it away from her in the interview, right? Like, yeah, you were recorded, but let's not talk about that. And she's saying, that can't be separated from who I am, because I'm always going to be in recovery, because I'm always going to have chapters of pain, and I'm always going to be after those fixes, right? So she's saying, I've got to stay there, man.
Yeah, I think Joe probably said it better, but what I was thinking was, you know, it's a little bit about fear of the unknown. I can think of many people who baptize their children who have absolutely no faith or practice faith whatsoever, but I think they do it because there's a little bit of them in that where they're afraid, because they hear this, if your children aren't baptized, they're not going to get into heaven, right? So you do things, maybe that's the formula, and then you do things, whether you really believe it or not, because there's a little bit of fear here in the back of your mind about, well, if I don't baptize my kid, like, if something happens to them, they're not getting into heaven. And then as adults, you know, same thing, you're having, I know a handful of people who, as the other one said, that if asked, you know, are you born again, you know, again, people do it, I think, because they're kind of like afraid of this, you know, again, you have to be born again to get into heaven. So whether it's formula, fear, or things that Joe touched upon, I think we do these things, whether we feel them in our heart or not, because of this immediate fear that resides in us.
Which is interesting, because the scripture says perfect love casts out fear. So when we instill in people fear, that is not God. God wants us to come to God of our own fruition and of our own desire, because we recognize that we need God in our life so that we can recognize His life to the full, and so that we don't get stuck and we don't put up these walls, and so that we have a way of facing our fear and walking through our fear and our pain. And there's somebody over here who had anything
else. You see, I also think it's a matter of honesty, being honest about who you are and what you are. Because I'm in a perpetual state of screw up. I screw up every single day, several times a day. And I would be constantly dumping my head in water, constantly reciting that, you know, I'm reborn. I think that I'm honest that I'm in my brokenness, I'm a daughter of God, and that each and every day, whatever it is that I screwed up in that moment, that He forgives me and He loves me, and that's the covenant that I have with Him. Because, and I'm not that.
Well, but that's the power, to your point, of the Spirit. We need the Spirit to kind of give us what we don't have in and of ourselves. And we turn to Spirit and say, I need cover, but I am powerless. I don't get this. I can't. Right? So the Spirit is what is there that surrounds us. You went to church, you went through the motions, you learned all the doctrine, but you didn't invite the Spirit in a way to walk over you.
And I think that's fine, but that's not big. You have to have the Holy Spirit.
And the Spirit of God, think of the Spirit of God as God is love, and the Spirit of God's love living in you. Because remember, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, right? That the Spirit brings about these outcomes.
Self-control.
That makes sense. One more, and then just go ahead. One more.
You know, I've seen many people hit rock bottom and come back from different organizations. So, but I think the next pitfall is every time you talk to Pharisees, he's talking from people who think they have it all together, and the fact that they can control other people. What he's saying is they might exhibit behaviors that you want to see, but they're not really going to change unless they choose to change themselves. And that's this whole series, that's the missing ingredient. And most people keep missing. They're trying to control everybody else.
And the only one we can change is ourselves. That's right. Lord, help us to accept life for all its beautiful and brutal moments. Help us to make it hard to turn to you and the help of your loving Spirit. Help us when celebrating life to turn to you with gratitude. Remind us, dear Lord, that we can surrender anything and everything to you one day at a time, and that you will treat us compassionately, lovingly, kindly, and you will give us what is necessary to be born anew from above, over and over and over again, with your ending love. Amen.
three words of prayer concerns, and we had some phrases on prompting. Kind of to ask if anybody has any other prayer concerns or phrases they would like to raise.
Carol,
diagnosed with thyroid cancer.
Are veterans?
Yes, absolutely. A veteran. Today is Veterans Day. Please thank you for that. And praises and prayers for the people who have fought for our country. And their prayers, concerns, praises.
We're celebrating, or whatever you want to call it, 100 years from the Great War's end, and hopefully world history won't spiral into making the same mistakes of nationalism.
Mistakes are made of nationalism in the Second World War.
First World War.
First, sorry.